headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. There is an old song some of you may have heard, Get Me to the Church on Time. That song is about a wedding. But these days, getting to church on time may be less urgent for some worshipers. All they have to do is log on to the church website and watch from the comfort of home on Sunday morning. But is the experience the same? What does watching church online say about the faithful and the modern church? Well, we're talking about that today. And my guests are Reverend Joseph Smith. He's a preacher. He's a millennial and a religious consultant. Also, Daniel Williams, social media expert and communications coordinator for Zion Church in Prince George's County. What do you think? Did you go to church yesterday, or were you sitting at the edge of your bed, watching it online or with your feet up in your living room? And what's wrong with that? I'd like to hear from you. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. So, Reverend Joe, Danielle, thank you both for joining us. I appreciate it.
What's up, Pastor Fisher?
Don't even try it. I am not worthy.
Oh, yeah.
So let us be clear.
Yeah. Peace the word.
I am not worthy. But I'll start with you, Reverend Joe. In the sanctuary or watching from home, is there a difference?
I mean, absolutely. I think there is a difference. Obviously, the live experience is going to have some flavor that the online experience does not. I mean, you can feel it different. It's the difference of watching a concert, you know, online versus being actually in the building. And there's a way, I believe that the Spirit moves through social media and that people are having a divine encounter with God, but there's just something about being in the community of the faithful. Now, that is not to say that being live in the sanctuary is necessarily better or worse, but is it different? There's a difference. Absolutely.
What would you say is the difference?
Man, I mean, so there's this thing that God has wired us to need, this connectivity from human being to human being, that you get whenever you are in the same room with anybody. And I think that that's amplified when you are in church. You know, the Bible says that where two or three are gathered, I will be in the midst, right? And there's something unique, there's something organic, there's something divine that happens when human beings are in the room together, engaging each other, whether that's in the church house or in a hospital room or at the Aretha Franklin concert.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering, Danielle, did the Bible take into consideration the internet? did the Bible take into consideration social media? When two or three or four or more are gathered on social media, fellowshipping about the pastor's sermon online, isn't that the same thing?
So my answer probably will sound spiritual, but... Yeah,
and that's fine. that's what this conversation is about. I mean, it is a spiritual conversation, but it's also about the realities of the modern church. So please go right ahead.
So I think God, he knows all. So he definitely knew that the internet was going to come. And so I think that we always have to find the beauty and the benefits of everything. Mm-hmm. So we can use internet for a lot of things, as we know. We can spread wrong messages. We can spread great messages. So I think that, as you said, we can definitely still have community, even online. Now, is it the same as walking inside of a church building and being able to hug my brother and my sister? No. But if you still have that same heart of that you want to grow and be connected, you actually still can do that in a different way, but you can still have similar results.
Mm-hmm. Does it matter for the size of a church when you have really large churches, mm-hmm, and seating is at a premium, mm-hmm, because you've already the church has already developed a 7 a.m. service and mm-hmm. a 9 a.m. service, mm-hmm. an 11:30 service, mm-hmm. and then you got your 2:30 in the afternoon service, and then of course, you know, first week, and we're talking about Christians now, you have on first Sunday communion. Sometimes you have it in the morning, but then you may have a separate service specifically for communion. And so some people just can't get there. Folks are busy. They're traveling. Isn't it better for larger churches to increase their viewership?
I mean, I won't necessarily say that it is better, but it is certainly an enhancement. So I think when we think about online ministry, we have to think about it not as a replacement for being in person, the live experience, but as an addition to an enhancement. So the Bible talks about Jesus makes this commission, what we call the Great Commission. He says, go out and make disciples of all nations. Now, you can do that at your local church and reach the people who would walk in the doors of your local church, right? But the ability to reach more people for Christ is certainly amplified and increased through the tool and technology of the internet, right? So I am able to reach folks who are in perhaps in Indonesia or South Africa or people who are in Los Angeles. I'm able to reach military families who are disconnected from my church through the tool and technology of the internet.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about church online versus attending church in the sanctuary. Is it any different for you spiritually? Is it good or bad for the church? I'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. One of the things that was raised when we were discussing this program was the impact of offerings.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, hallelujah.
And let's
hallelujah.
And one of my colleagues here raised the issue. He said at his church, when the online services began to become very popular, they saw a reduction and tithes and offerings. Do you find that to be the case? I mean, and I don't know. I this is not a scientific question, but certainly your opinions about that.
So I do not find that to be the case. I think that let me talk about our particular experience at New Bethel. So I serve as the pastor of innovation and planning at New Bethel in D.C. Pastor Dex Nuttall is our pastor. It's the church where Congressman Walter Fauntroy was the long-term pastor. We recently introduced this notion of giving through Cash App. And in one Sunday, right, we saw a marked increase in the donations that we were able to accept because our church is growing with the millennial population. Many Howard and other college students attend our church, and most of us are not using paper money. I keep dollars in my pocket so that I can bless the homeless men and women that I encounter on the street. But for my day to day business, I'm not using cash money. So the introduction of this digital mobile money transfer system actually enhanced our ability to be able to receive gifts to the church. We receive offerings online through our online giving mechanism. In my former role as the assistant to pastor at Alfred Street Baptist Church, I mean, when we rolled out online giving, giving went up, right? So much of our money is given throughout the week. So when people are watching the videos, the rebroadcast on YouTube or on Facebook, folks are responding in real time and able to give offerings and donations in real time. If we were just limiting our offerings to what was actually able to be collected in-house during the offering period, I mean, we would see a sharp decline in the amount of funds that we were able to collect to build the work of God in those spaces.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about church in the sanctuary or online. Is this is it better online? Is it better in the sanctuary? Is this a development of the modern church? What do you think? Let's go to Henry. Henry, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Henry. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I really believe that it really causes no problem whether you're online or whether you go to church. Some church websites do have an option where you could put in your tithes and offering. The only distraction about home is, you know, a lot of people do attend St. Mattress Baptist Church.
St. Mattress Baptist Church. Bedside Baptist. Right. The whole, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Henry.
Right. Uh-huh. You know, Pastor Sheets and Brother Pillow. But, you know, the thing about it is that distraction. When you're at home, you may be into the service, the phone may ring, the kids start crying, somebody coming in asking you questions, that interferes with your fellowship. So if you could pray and just ask the Spirit to be with you if you're home watching it, that nothing would distract you, that you would get to worship in, I really don't see it being a problem.
Interesting. Henry, thank you so much. You know, one of the things, Danielle, that I remember, and I think Henry makes an interesting point, pre-internet, mm-hmm. pre-social media, the only option when I was growing up, when I was a kid, was no option. You got up because your mother said and your father said, boy, you better get up and put your Sunday clothes on. And you went. And that meant no matter how harried or hectic the morning was, you still had to go. And sometimes that meant if you didn't finish, you know, your bacon sandwich or your pancakes or what have you, you had a half a Pop-Tart mm-hmm. in your hand going to church. And yet many churches are using this as a forum of outreach. But is it possible that we, those who have attended church traditionally, are leaning more towards convenience rather than the kind of, if I may, pressing towards the mark, which means going, getting up and going to church?
So I think that, so Christ called us to be the church. Mm-hmm. So I think in that we have to get outside of thinking that we have to go to the building. Again, the building is great, but we actually have people who do something called host watch parties in their house.
Now, what is that?
So a watch party is because we have the ability to watch online via the internet that you actually invite other people over to your house and you have like your own community that you have in your home and you guys get to worship together. You're not just watching by yourself, but you have others that come and be a part of that. And that's something that actually has become very popular. We have people who do it in California and different places that really? We don't have a physical Zion Church campus there, but they want it to be a part of our community. Maybe they moved away for work and then they started inviting coworkers and people and they've caught on.
That is fascinating. Yeah. I because usually when you think about watch parties, you're usually talking about the housewives
right.
or the authors
right.
or power or something like that. Yeah. Well, there's, don't get me started about power, you know, the power in the blood. That's a whole other conversation. So don't let me get started with that. But 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about church online versus church in the sanctuary. Is there a difference? Are you finding yourself going to church more now, or perhaps splitting your time between church online and going to church, or maybe you've stopped going altogether and you are watching online more? Pastor Joe, you were about to make a comment.
Yeah, so to Henry's point related to distractions, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that distractions exist in every place where we are human, right? And so if we are going to take seriously the call of Christ to be light in darkness, there is never a space where there aren't things that are competing with, right, the voice of God and the plan of God and this notion of light emerging in darkness. So if you are sitting in, you if you're sitting in your cubicle and there is a crisis happening on your job, you don't necessarily have the benefit of being able to retreat into a quiet space to know how to infuse Jesus or light into that space. And so I think that we have really, as a society, become accustomed to being able to navigate distractions. I mean, in church, the choir is singing and the ushers are marching and the baby is crying and we're checking our social media all at the same time. But I think that the responsibility of the believer is to sort of be able to produce this spirituality and infuse light into darkness, even in moments where there are, quote unquote, distractions.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go back to our phone lines. Anne in D.C., James in Hyattsville, Pastor Ball calling from Laurel. Please stay with us. Do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 140 is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're asking, do you still go to church or are you watching services online? Is that good for your spirit and you being filled? Is it good for the church? My guests are Reverend Joseph Smith. He's a preacher. He's a millennial and a religious consultant. Also, Daniel Williams. She's a social media expert and communications coordinator for Zion Church in Prince George's County. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Back to the phone lines. Pastor Ball calling from Laurel. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. So I think as a pastor of a church that has predominant millennial population, I think part of the challenge with online is we use it, as Reverend Joe just said, as kind of an enhancement. So if you're on travel or something like that, we get it. We've now, I think, began to use it as an excuse for actually being lazy and not being accountable. By that, I mean, we don't do brunch online. You can find a reason to get up and to go and fellowship with your friends at brunch. However, we want the convenience of being physically absent and not held accountable by using the online experience. So I think we've got to find some balance there. We cannot create disciples that we don't actually interact with beyond just a digital kind of space. So I think it's important for us to see the lived experience of people. So you can, we've seen social media. I mean, I know a lot of people who fake it real on social media. So your life and your family and your children are all perfect online. But when we get to see you, we begin to realize, okay, there's some surgery that has to happen there.
Interesting.
Very rarely will we have a heart surgeon that just wants to perform surgery with us online. We want you to show up and actually be present.
Okay.
So I think there is an accountability factor that comes into play, as well as a ministry factor that comes into play online, in presence. But not only that.
Well, Pastor Ball, before you continue with your sermon, because we got a lot of folks who want to get in on this conversation, but I appreciate your point, and I think you made some very, very important points. You wanted to say something about that, Reverend Joe.
No, I mean, I think that there has always been this promulgation of the sense that what is happening in our time is somehow better than what happens in times that precede ours. So with the emergence of any new technology, there has always been this sense in our society that what is following the time in which we sort of are in our prime, that is somehow how worse. So with the emergence of books, there were these scholars who were saying that the society was going to be very disjointed and disunited because people would be stuck with these large volumes of pages in front of them. With the emergences, with the emergence of newspapers and telephones, people were there were folks who were talking about we were going to be a left-eared society, right, because of the emergence of telephones. And so I think there has always been this promulgation that of the notion that what is happening after our time is somehow worse than the thing that we did. So we make it somehow nostalgic to say ours is better. I don't think that the world is any less connected, that people are any less worse off than human beings have always been. I think, again, that social media, online ministry is an enhancement. It's the continuation of the evolution of people, you know, toward receiving communication and engaging and interacting with one another. One of the things that we know is that the world is more connected now than it has ever been. Like, I am a lot more connected with the folks that I graduated with from high school because of Facebook than my mother was before Facebook existed. So we are a lot more connected. There are a lot of great benefits of online ministry. I think that we have to stop the romanticization of, you know, like the times ago. And mm-hmm. I do get the sense that the world is changing, but it is not necessarily changing for the worse.
Mm-hmm. No, go right ahead, please.
And I will also say, I know you're the pastor of innovation, I think you said. So you have to bring a innovative perspective to, so this is where we are. So how do we take this and continue to make it better? So we don't just have, people can watch our service through our mobile app, through Facebook Live. We also have a church online platform. So we actually have a iCampus pastor who he pastors the people who are online. So they're not just watching, but we actually have a chat room where people are, we have chat hosts who their job is, they can get live prayer. They can raise their hand if they want to get saved and give their life to Christ. We follow back up with them. So it's making it, again, as we're always connected, we're already connected. How can you take that experience in the goal of our mission is to meet God, grow closer to him, and serve him at Zion Church. So it's mission-led, and we want to help people.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. James, calling from Hyattsville. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
My name is James. I just want to make a quick comment.
Sure, go ahead.
There was no Facebook. There was no computers 1,000 years ago when people were worshiping. I love church. I'm never going to not church, right? Mm-hmm. I love church. But how many people do you know actually talk to God in the Bible? The Bible says one was Moses on the side of a mountain through a burning bush. One was Jesus in the wilderness. These people actually talked to God, right? They were by themselves. You know what I'm saying? The Bible does say if one or two or three of you come into the midst, I will be there. But worshiping God in your heart and in your mind and making it for real. I don't care where you are. I don't care who are with you. You know what I'm saying? That's when God's going to listen to you and hear you.
So I guess, James, what I'm, I guess to your, I'm trying to understand your point. So you just said you love church. You're always going to go.
I go to church whenever I can.
Right. And that's wonderful. Know? So have you never watched online?
Yes, I watched on television, but not online.
Okay, so you've never watched like a Creflo Dollar or Joel Osteen or anyone like that online?
I watch a lot of Swagger.
I said, wow.
Okay.
Oh, wow. That's in the Wayback Machine right there. So, okay.
I know he did in the past, but I still lack his word.
Mm-hmm. Would you?
What I'm trying to make is that the Bible says that you can go to church every Sunday and mm-hmm. worship and do things all your life. And then when you die, Jesus will turn from you and say, I mm-hmm. never knew you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, James, thank you so much. And I think he makes an interesting point, Danielle. He said he never watched online, but he watched on TV. What's the difference? Is there a difference?
It's just another way that you can. So I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Because as I mentioned, you have your Joel Osteens and you have your, you know, your Creflo Dollars, as I mentioned, and what is the internet? But one could say, as you said, Pastor Joe, an extension of technology. Mm-hmm. But here's the other question, and Danielle, you may be able to answer this, but Reverend Joe, if you can, we this conversation has been centered around the Christian belief, One of the things that I found in looking at this today, with the Nation of Islam, you can see, for example, Louis Farrakhan online. But are you familiar with whether or not other mosques, synagogues, Buddhist temples, other faiths are utilizing online technology to where you can watch their services? And I asked because I looked at two Jewish synagogues, one here in the D.C. area, in Montgomery County, Bethel in Montgomery County, and Bethel in Baltimore. In searching their website, I did not see any access to any of their services. Is this a Christian thing?
So I'm going to have to defer to Pastor Joe on that one. Yeah. I'm not 100%.
Yeah, and you, and like I said, you may not know, but is this particular to the Christian faith, or are other faiths doing the same kinds of things?
I think that other faiths are utilizing the tool and technology of the internet, right, to promote their values and their beliefs. I have of late become really enamored and infatuated in some ways with Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that's primary. I was introduced in a more intentional way to his sermons, his preaching through Instagram, right? Mm-hmm. And being able to engage him in that space, on Periscope, on any day, really, you can find, imam sort of sharing and preaching and bringing people into community, right? In a way that is familiar with their religious beliefs. My grandmother, 91 years old, shocked our family, 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years, I think it was 3 years ago, she's a Jehovah's Witness. She shocked our family when she asked for an iPad. Well, Grandma, why do you need an iPad? She wanted to engage in the online ministry offerings that her religion sort of offered. She could go online, watch videos, do her Bible studies right there online. So you have this 89-year-old woman in Natchez, Mississippi, who is requesting an iPad and being very intentional about learning how to use the iPad so that she could engage on a particular level with her religious organization. Mm-hmm. So I think that it extends beyond sort of Christianity into other spaces.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kim, calling from Lorton, Virginia. Thanks for calling, Kim. What's on your mind?
Yes, I think social media is a good supplement maybe to church, but it shouldn't be the primary focus or source of church agenda. We need the socialization aspect so we know how to treat each other in person, not online. We tend to me in terms of other social media stuff, we tend to pretend more or act like we're actors or actresses and stuff like that. When you see someone in person, you can address them personally and, you know, without, I guess, extra intent. And certainly my son, who has ADHD, who has some socialization factors that he's missing, I think engaging him more in person with church people and affairs is much better than him watching it on social media.
Okay, Kim, thank you so much. I appreciate that. One of the other things too, Danielle, and this is really specifically for you, because oftentimes we think about watching church service on Sunday morning online, but that's for the adults. We don't have, I've not seen, and maybe you have, but you don't have Sunday school for the children online. You don't see a lot of that, and maybe that's a good thing, because as Kim, you know, perhaps, you know, suggested, for socialization of children in the faith, that is important to get them acclimated to the study of, in this case, Christianity.
So I'm glad you brought that point up. So we actually do have a platform online called Extreme Live. So our children's ministry is called Extreme, but Extreme Live is specifically online. So we have a green screen set up. They come in. We have a puppet named JJ. Pastor Mike Rogers is our kids pastor, and they have different episodes talking about integrity, talking about faith, talking about here's our verse of the day. And we have about 20 episodes that we produce, and we say, hey, if you're watching online, get your iPad, let your child go in the next room. And, you know, we have their own platform from them to learn and grow and to, again, accomplish our mission of meeting God, growing closer to Him and serving Him, even at 2 years old. We want to plant those seeds. So, and a lot of times for online, I think it's a way for people to check us out. And then we hope that they will actually come in and get be a part of that community. But that's not always the case.
Need to take a break. When we come back, more of this conversation. Church in the sanctuary or online, what do you think? Which is better? Is either one better? I want to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. We're talking about church in the sanctuary or watching online. What do you think? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Gerald, calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling, Gerald. What's on your mind?
Good evening.
Hey, go right ahead.
Yeah, I think that really going to church, I think one is sort of mandated. I mean, in the Bible, that we fellowship with one another. But I think also the in-person experience, I think, deepens one's faith and one's sort of commitment to those foundational steps that lead to sort of lifelong, you know, kind of a commitment or just commitment to a lifestyle. But I think one of my other issues is I think that I'm hearing some of your panel members say that, you know, like the online experience is something that is fine, but I look at it as like, again, a supplement. It's a supplement, and it's one where, you know, it's not the main course. It's the side deal. And so, you know, you want people there to however they can get there. If people are living out of town, then you want them to engage with your folks, but you know, if you're in town, like, you should come. If you don't come but once a month, I mean, it's better than nothing because, I mean, the church needs your body. Why else are they paying for space?
Thank you so much, Gerald. Danielle, what do you think about that? I mean, you spoke to that for members at of Zion Church who have moved away or maybe deployed. So I think he's speaking to that piece.
Right. I mean, I always think that, so we've grown up knowing that we should be in church. I used to go to a Pentecostal church before I came to Zion. And when I came to Zion, I just loved how they were, how innovative, how open. And for me, I think just the mission of knowing who we are and what we're doing and really building disciples, that you can still have a great experience without being physically there. Now, when I came home from college, of course, like, I would want to go, but I think I felt spiritually strong enough to know that what I was hearing, I was still able to go out and apply it. And, you know, it was still beneficial for me to, yes, have the church building, but also to be strong enough to know that I can feel sustainable without necessarily having to step in.
But, you know, we've spoken about Alfred Street. We've spoken about New Bethel, Zion. These are larger churches. But what about smaller churches, even storefront churches that are moving and expanding? Should they consider, if they don't already, online viewing? Is it as good for the smaller churches as it is for the larger churches?
I mean, absolutely. So I want to say two things. I want to go back to this point about needing to be in church in order to have a deeper relationship and having this deep spirituality. So the elephant in the room that we are sort of kind of like just glossing over really is the fact that when we have come to church, we have also experienced some things that have left us like, okay, really? What, like, are you Christian? Like, and so a lot of people sort of have this experience with church, and we frame it under this, the context of church hurt, right? And so,
not all churches are
right. And so people have these experiences coming into the actual church with people who are not connected to the church's missions and who don't embody the church's values that actually result in the opposite of what Henry is saying, right? Where they no longer want to come to church. They no longer want to be connected to God or Christ because they have this experience with, you know, with an usher or a preacher who says something hateful from the pulpit. And that's not how people want to experience God. And so, again, I think that we do have to balance the ways in which we sort of romanticize the things that we like personally, right? And to deal with some of the actual realities. Most millennials, most folks who are seeking new churches engage that church first online. Why? Because it's more convenient. It's less threatening. I can watch as much of it as I want to, and then I can disconnect. I can come back to it. I'm not overwhelmed with this sense that, wow, this is a lot of new information. These are a lot of new people. Why is everybody coming to hug me? I'm an introvert. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I think that we have to balance it in that way. Your question was around churches.
Yeah, small churches.
So, listen, Facebook is absolutely free unless you decide to use the advertising mechanisms that Facebook has put in place. Social media, the internet, is the fastest way to share the large amounts of information for little bit of money. Right. And so, you know, my home church in Natchez, Mississippi, back on a country road, if they can figure out how to get Wi-Fi or a cell phone signal, I am able, right, to engage in my worship service in Gospel Temple Baptist Church that's on a dirt road in Natchez, Mississippi.
And you may see your grandmother on the first row.
Well, she went home to be with Jesus, so I don't want to see her. But your points were taken. So. I think that the internet presents this opportunity for churches and ministries who have been shut out because of cost, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to expose the world, the people in their community, the friends and family to their ministries without having to spend $5,000 on advertising or streaming service. Remember Streaming Faith, right? I'm not sure if Streaming Faith is still around, but that was one of the first services that was made available to churches to be able to stream it. And you had to, it was expensive and only larger churches could engage it. The social media, the internet nowadays has sort of leveled the playing field so that small churches, large churches, you know, storefront churches are now able to share the message of Jesus Christ in a way that can reach more people.
So, Danielle, what is your advice to church administrators and pastors and even lay leaders when they are trying to figure out how to expose their ministries to more people? I mean, you've already shared some really great ideas that Zion is doing, but from your perspective, what are the next steps? What's the next innovation for churches?
Well, I definitely think you have to meet people where they are. So podcasts are big.
So good.
That's another great way. I know a lot of millennials, my friends, like we sit when we're in traffic or working out, like we listen to podcasts. So I think just using what we have and being innovative and being strategic about it as well.
So, when you say strategic, what do you mean?
So in the sense of you want to spew out great companies. They are all about vision. So you want to make sure that whether you have a small church with 15 people, you want to make sure that they are champions of your vision and that the messages that you put out, your branding, all that stuff for social media, it makes a difference. People, you could have 15 people, but if somebody's scrolling like, oh man, that graphic looks really great, or the music that you have, like you have to know what's unique about your church, and you have to play to that strength, but also know your audience as well. And don't be afraid to make mistakes. I mean, at Zion, we've done a lot of things that is trial and error. If you look at Apple, if you look at Amazon, you know, we look at other industry leaders and see what they're doing outside of the church and how we can then take that to make it unique to the church world, specifically to Zion and our mission and who we're trying to reach. So I think small churches, large churches, whoever, that you have to be intentional about your message and your vision and get it out. Don't be afraid to get it out there.
You know, back in the old days, pre-internet, you would have on, you know, gospel radio stations, you would either have a direct line to the church and on Sunday mornings, and you would have churches that would, and they would pay radio stations to have that direct line, and people who were sick and shut in, mm-hmm. or just couldn't get to church, mm-hmm. they would listen on the radio. And then there were cassettes, and then there were CDs, and DVDs, and is that now a thing of the past? Have we gotten to a point now where everything is online, and just like cassettes and 8-track, and I'm taking, you know, all that other stuff mm-hmm. is gone by the wayside. Mm-hmm. Is it definitely just all online now?
I wouldn't say that it's all online. I mean, you know, we have, obviously, we are deeply committed at New Bethel, as we were at Alfred Street, to serving our senior population. And the folks within that population like their CDs, they like their DVDs. And so we continue to make those available. But more and more, we find that that age group, those folks within that population, are choosing to engage online. People like being able to go to Facebook. They love the convenience of Facebook, being able to go and click and then fast forward to the part that you want to see mm-hmm. and skip over the part that you don't want to see. And so I really think that it's the conveniences that we have that are common to us in our daily lives. We're also finding that people want those same conveniences when they come to church. Yeah. You know, that's just the way the world is now.
Yeah, yeah. And as you said, even as our lives change, the church has always been very, very good at keeping up.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Praise God.
In time.
In time.
You know,
yeah.
not always on time, but yeah. sometimes in time.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Danielle,
yeah.
I'll let you have the final word here. Your thoughts.
Yeah, I think that church online is a great option for people that you should not just shy away from, that you should really give it some thought. And it doesn't replace our in-person experience, but I think that, again, when we're mission-driven, then we know that our goal is to be the church.
Sure.
And that we don't have to go inside of the church building, and we have to meet people where they are. People are on Snapchat, they're on Instagram, sure. they're listening to podcasts. So why would you not be like the Amazon of churches, or be like the Apple of church, you know, of the church world, and use that innovation to really go to the next level and anticipate what the new changes are and to even get ahead.
I think I'll let that be the last word, but Reverend Joseph Smith and Danielle Williams, thank you both for talking to us. And Danielle, congratulations on your wedding.
She's
and your nuptials
now.
And all of
that. Married
now.
Love you, babe.
That's right. Just grinning from ear to ear. Hey, we got to hurry up and let her get up out of here.
Right.
Get on home.
Get on.
All right, that is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Monday, August 20th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection.